Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. How many of you are familiar with the words something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue? Now, those words bring to mind the four good luck objects every bride should have with her on her wedding day. But the words old and something old and something new also describe many of our homes today. You know, almost every home I've visited over the years have some antique, usually something that's been passed on by a family member, something which not only has value as an antique, but also has great sentimental value, connectedness. You know, most of the value of an antique is in the competition for that very item. I remember a time back in South Dakota, a member of my congregation showed me an old rusted tractor tire rim. And he told me that that rim, which to my untrained eye would probably serve best as an anchor, was worth more than $500. It was one of only a few made in that particular way at that particular time, and there were many collectors who would pay dearly for it. I was not one of them. But, you know, we're not only enamored by old things, new things are also important to us. A great deal of pleasure in owning something new, a new car, or a new boat, a new set of golf clubs. We all like something new now and then, and even though we know it won't be new for very long because that newness is going to tarnish very quickly, something new is nice. Because, well, because it's new. Something old, something new. Those words are important to us as God's people as well. We find great comfort in the old things. They have a certain solid, permanent, tested by time feel to them that can give us a feeling of security, even safety. Old things can be comfortable. An old familiar Bible, a particular Bible version, a hymnal, a catechism, or even the liturgy. They can make us feel at home. And yet, many of us also like something of the new, a little updated, want something a little different now and then, just to shake things up, but not too often and not too different. The old is important because we can build a solid foundation on it, the tried and true, the well-known upon which we feel grounded in our Christian faith. In the reading from the book of Revelation this morning, we heard about something while, though it's brand new, it's also eternally old. That text describes something that's guaranteed to last, to hold its value forever. Something that's been promised to you and me simply because we are God's people. Simply because our names have been written in that Lamb's Book of Life by virtue of the faith given to us. For the past number of weeks, our epistle readings have come from the book of Revelation. The last 2 weeks, those lessons have focused our attention on what God has in store for us when he comes again. And the image he gives us this morning is as beautiful as it is comforting. Today he speaks of a gleaming, bright, jewel-like city, the New Jerusalem, shining with the glory of God. You know, oftentimes on Memorial Day, we think about, of course, those who have given their lives in service to our country. And I think oftentimes when we think about heaven, we think primarily about those people who have gone on before us, people that we long to see again, and we think of it as a great family reunion. Today's picture is a little different. It tells us of this place that God has prepared for us. And one of the biggest reasons what we hear described by John is so wonderful and so comforting is because of the stark contrast that it is to what we experience so often in this life. You know, there's a lot of darkness in our world. And as we walk through life, there are times when that darkness can seem very dark indeed. Life is often filled with difficulty, disease, sin, pain, and suffering. Dark times come to us, every one of us, without exception, to one degree or another. And not only are there dark times, but the darkness of sin also surrounds us. You know, there's a darkness of mind and spirit in those who don't know Christ as Savior, a darkness which seems so difficult for us to understand. It seems inconceivable that people can be blind to the love of God. But as John says in his gospel, the light of the gospel of Christ shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. But Christ has shown his light upon you and me. And by his grace, we have understood it. In him was life, and that life was the light of men, John writes. We've been shown the light of salvation as we've seen his undying love for us on the cross. And we've come to understand, by faith, that his love is for us, personally. He's shown his light upon us, given us his salvation so that we might be his people. We've seen his light upon us and given us his salvation. We've seen his light through his word of truth, his word of forgiveness, his word that enables us to know and believe that he is the Lord and Savior. And Paul put it this way. He said, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." There may be darkness all around us, but Christ shines on us and through us to help dispel that darkness. And if there's darkness around us now, in the reading from Revelation 21, St. John tells us that that holy city that God has prepared for us will have light, so much light, in fact, that there will be no darkness at all. In fact, it says God himself will be our light. You know, the Bible alludes to that in many places. The psalmist says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I think almost all of us have known that verse, have heard that verse. But have you thought of it this way? In heaven, the word made flesh, Christ himself, will shine for all to see. As John said, "And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and its lamp is the Lamb." The very Word of God made flesh. But the most incredible thing, I think, is that this bright and glorious city is actually prepared for you and me. It's not prepared for the angels. It's not prepared for God. It's not prepared for Jesus, but for you and for me. By faith in Jesus Christ, you and I have been called into that family of God, and we've been given the promise of this new yet eternally old rock-solid city. And it's a city that God planned for us since before the foundations of the world. And here in this final book of the Bible, God gives us just a glimpse of what's yet to be so that we might have hope. He calls us while we're still here to trust him, to look to him, so that we might be certain that this is our inheritance. But that can be so difficult while we live in a world which still has both darkness and night, light. It can be so difficult to trust God's voice at times. In Psalm 46, the psalmist describes how difficult it can be to hear God amid the roaring and shaking of our world. In describing the problems of life, he says they're like the earth giving way and mountains falling into the heart of the sea. And life can certainly feel that way sometimes. We or a loved one gets seriously ill and the ground shakes. Or a spouse decides to leave the marriage and the earth gives way. Or you lose your job, or a child gets ill or into serious trouble, and the sea of life begins to roar and foam. In those times, it can be very difficult to hear God's voice or be confident or to be hopeful. And it's not just the personal troubles and tragedies that cause the earth to shake. There are things that we may not personally experience, but which still give us cause to wonder. Things that would take our eyes off of God's promises of mercy. People are walking down a quiet city street in France, doing a little shopping. And suddenly an explosion shatters the peaceful scene, and more than a dozen people are seriously injured because of someone with a hate-filled heart. Or you turn on the news, and you hear of another tornado that swept through a community. You know, there's been 101 tornadoes in the space of about a month and a half in our nation alone. Tornadoes that sweep through a community. Everything that people have worked for all their lives is just blown away, quite literally. Where's God's mercy for these? But I think that's why Jesus says to us today, in this world you will have tribulation. But take heart, for I have overcome the world. God, through John in the book of Revelation, reminds us that He has a place prepared for us where all of the dangers and the sadness and the uncertainties are no more. It's there and it's ours because the Lamb of God took our sin upon Himself. We have a home in a city whose gates are never closed because there are no enemies to threaten us. But until He returns in glory, we will still experience the sorrow and the sadness that sin brings. From 1986 to 1990, Frank Reed was held as a hostage by terrorists in Lebanon during the Lebanese Civil War. And for months, at a time, he was blindfolded, living in complete darkness, or chained to a wall and kept in absolute silence. And although he was beaten, made ill, and tormented, what Reed felt most was the lack of anyone caring. He said in an interview with Time magazine after he was released, "Nothing I did mattered to anyone. And I began to realize how withering it is to exist with not a single expression of caring around me. And I learned one overriding fact. Caring is a powerful force. If no one cares, you are truly alone." Just a few verses before the description of the city that's our heavenly inheritance, John heard God declare this: "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment." Those words, "it is done," echo Jesus' words, "it is finished," as He hung on the cross, completing His mission of love and forgiveness for you and me. And that cross was God's great statement that even if no one else cares, He does. He cared so much that He gave His own Son over to death in order to ensure that you would be with Him forever. And with Him in a city that is impossible to describe in a way that fully makes sense to us. A city prepared for you and for me by God Himself. Paul wrote in his letter to the Philippians, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which shall I choose, I cannot tell. I'm hard pressed between the two." Paul knew that tension that comes from living here, physically apart from Christ, but knowing what a blessing it would be to be in that place that knows no sin, decay, pain, or trouble. And we know it too. Maybe not all the time, but there truly are times when we would like nothing more than to leave this troubled world and be with Christ. But until that day, we keep our eyes fixed on the hope that is ours, a hope that is certain because of the empty tomb of Easter and the promise of our God in our text this morning. And as we wait, we walk in hope and eagerness, knowing that one day we will arrive in that holy city which God has prepared for us. Amen.